Well, I was just thinking, all of us don't get to see the same things as we come into church, but I wanted to make mention of it in case you don't. It's so wonderful to see folks of every age. I got to see several young ladies coming down the hall. I was going this way, they were going that way, going to class, I guess, and just wonderful to see them ready for church and here and going to a class. And then I got to see just different folks. Got to see little Emerson Hensley back here. He didn't come by himself, but he came anyways. And so it's good to see folks coming. I was thinking about us, all Brother Todd and Miss Tammy Williams, and wonderful. The adoption of little Sadie got finalized here recently. It's just wonderful to see people come. And then, of course, got to talk to Preacher Lastly up here just briefly as I was coming back, and to have Anna's mom and grandparents here with. It's just good to see everybody gather in together, and I think it's somewhat like heaven will be. It's not what eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared. I know that, but it's got to be something like that when people come and they join together and they get to fellowship and will gather around of every tongue and tribe and nation and kindred, as the Bible says. Just a wonderful thing to be in church. Thank you for being here and being a part of it. Well, I want to preach, as I made reference to, about that parable of the two builders. And you're going to find your place, if you have your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll look at verse number 24. As you find your place in Matthew chapter 7, I did hear this story about this little fella. He was a man, but he was just little. He was about 5'6" or so, only weighed 120 pounds. He went to get a job, and he wanted to be a lumberjack. And so the guy who was on the hiring said, "Well, there ain't no way you can do this kind of work." He said, "Oh, yeah, I can chop trees. I'm good at it." He says, "You got to have a lot of strength to be a lumberjack." He said, "Doesn't look to me like you're big enough." He said, "Look to me like you'd have to tease the hair on your legs in the morning, get your socks to stand up. I don't think you've got the oomph in it." And he says, "Oh, no, I can cut down trees. I can do it." He said, "Okay, well, let's give you a little test. There's a sapling there." He said, "There it is. Cut that one down." Well, he got his axe and wickety-whack, he cut it down, and there it went. He said, "Well, that's good, but let's see something that's a little bit more challenging. So there's a little bigger tree right over there." He said, "Well, try on that one." Sure enough, he stepped up to it, wickety-whack, just cut it down. It laid there on the ground. He said, "Well, that is kind of impressive for a man your size." And he said, "But here's the real test. There's a huge one back here." He said, "Go try that one." Boy, went up there, stood right beside it, wickety-whack, didn't take him very long. That thing fell, boom, right down there. He said, "My goodness." He said, "I've never seen anything like this." He said, "Where on earth did you learn how to cut trees like that?" He says, "Well, I learned it at the Sahara Forest." He said, "Wait a minute, don't you mean the Sahara Desert?" He said, "Well, yeah, now that's what they call it." So, in Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." Hold your place right there. Once you look back just a little bit in the chapter, we're on the heels of some teaching, great teaching, of course. It's all great teaching, but that the Lord did to the people there. In verse number 12 of that same chapter, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them." That's the golden rule. This is the law and the prophets. In verse number 13, it talks about that straight gate and the narrow gate. Straight's the gate, narrow's the way, which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. That's not a indication that it's hard to get to heaven. That straight and narrow gate is that it's only in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wide way is what people want now. Any way is all right, is what they say. Well, that's on the heels of that teaching. And then in verse number 15, it's talking about being aware of false prophets as they're coming in sheep's clothing, but they're ravening wolves. And then in verse number 21 and 22 and 3 is that passage where Jesus says he'll have to pronounce to people, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So on the heels of this teaching, Jesus is saying in verse number 24, we just read, it talks about those people that built that man that built the house on the rock. This parable is a earthly story to give a heavenly meaning. Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine," those sayings that he gave specifically right before, but all of his teachings, "is likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I want to preach for a little while about the foundation making all of the difference. We see in this parable the two builders in the passage, and whether we obey his teachings or don't obey his teachings, that's the deciding line of whether we're building our house on the rock or on the sand. I read of a story some time ago about the specifics of one of the most famous examples of a bad foundation is a bell tower over in Italy, built in the 1100s, finished up in the 1300s. But they built it on ground that was too spongy to hold up that. They went 3 meters deep for the foundation, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa is built on something that wasn't as substantial as it should be. They've, over the years, gone to great measures to straighten it up, but you could understand if you got your name like that, you don't want to straighten it up too much. It is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So they straighten it only to the point that they still let it lean. But as we talk about buildings and we're talking about putting on a firm foundation, it's even more important what Jesus is talking about here, because he's talking about this man and he's building this house, but he's likening that to when we build our lives. And so I'd like to give you two observations and then give you 3 points, and then I trust the Lord would bless us. The first one is this. From this passage, realize both men are building houses. It's not the case that one of them was building a house and the other was building a tent that he was going to live in for just a little while. It's not the case that somebody was building a structure that was going to stay, wanted to stay for a long time, and somebody else was just a temporary dwelling, a tarp and some tent stakes. They were both building houses. It was just that the foolish man was building in a place that he shouldn't have built. He didn't get down to where the rock was. We drove through, we went over to see the baby, and then went to the hospital to see Caleb, and we were coming back through, and folks were out on the interstate because we were coming through, and folks were with UT flags and stickers and everything, and then I looked at these crazy people driving, and it was Jordan and Josh Smith, and now I didn't see them. I'm sure they were crazy, I just didn't see them. I can't verify that they were, but I was looking it up. I think there's 52,000 people on the UT campuses, students. We live not far from the college in Columbus, Ohio, the Ohio State University. I think 60,000 enrollment totally up there. And these young people, not all young, but many young people are trying to build their life, and they're building it on something. I think about this. The last report I heard, it may be more, but 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. And they're building their life only according to the Bible. They're not building on the truth that will get them to glory. And I think about this. Both of these men in this parable were building houses. It wasn't one was doing one was not. Both of them building houses. But not only that, number 2, the observation is this, that the floods came to both. Verse number 24 says that they will liken him unto that wise man which built his house upon the rock. Verse 25, the rains descended. Verse number 27, the rain descended. So not only were both men building houses, but both of them had floods come to them. I read of a fellow named Chuck Fry. He was a gifted 17-year-old, and he graduated somewhat early and then went to pre-med and then went on to graduate school to get his medical license. But he was far above everybody else. But in his freshman year of medical school, he started noticing some fatigue and he was lethargic, and so he went to take some tests. That was in the spring of the year. He got diagnosed with acute leukemia, and he was gone by November. I didn't tell you this, that he didn't want to go into high-tech medicine and make as much money as he could. He was going to go into medical missions. He had made that very, very clear to the people as he prepared for his life. And I'm thinking about this. Why would it rain on the just and the unjust? But that's exactly what the Bible says it does. We can't look at somebody and say, well, boy, you're safe and you're smooth sailing, because some of the greatest people that you and I know are having some of the most troubles that you and I know as well. And so I understand that these people in this parable, these men, they had floods come to both of them. Since the difference is not the flood, the difference is not the presence of the house, then we want you to see something sure about these foundations. And so I want to give you these three, and I just want to stop just a little soon this morning. We're excited about a baptism that you'll get to observe here in just a little bit. Chase is going to get baptized. I'm looking forward to that. I want you to see this first of all, though, in verse number 24. He built his house upon the rock. Verse number 26, he built it upon, verse 26, upon the sand. I want you to see this first point. If I could just make an assessment, the unseen must be in place for the seen to endure. kind of a long point, but the unseen, something that's not seen, must be in place for the seen, what people notice, to endure. Do you know the people that you rub shoulders with in your work and all that you go to school, wherever it is, they only see part of you. They see the seen part. You try to get everything ready so you can go throughout the day, but they don't see the foundation. They don't see the unseen part. And what I would like to recommend to everybody in this day right now, as we're here sitting here in church, that you do a lot of work on the unseen things and let God worry about the things that are seen as they're out there about in the people that you rub shoulders with. I'm saying that the unseen has to be in place. A dad took his boy to where they were building a skyscraper down in a southern city. At that point, that skyscraper was going to be the tallest building in the South. The boy was very intrigued, and those big dozers were down in the dirt, down in the earth. And he asked his dad, "How long is this going to take?" His dad said, "I don't know." But they finally saw a worker coming out there, and he asked them, "Hey, how long till you get done?" And he said this, "We have to dig down several hundred feet and build solid foundations with concrete and steel, but then it'll really go up fast." Do you know that's about the truth with our life? We've got to put those foundations down deep as you're raising children, as you're trying to help people, as you're working on your own life. We've got to put those foundations down deep. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that foundation. So I see the unseen's got to be there for the seen to make it or to endure. But not only that, I give you the second one is this. The foundation work is not always appealing. Let me explain what I mean by that. The scripture says that the cross that we intentionally put at the front where you're looking at, the cross to the world is a stumbling block and an offense. To me, it's the old rugged cross. Its glory will share. Its shame and reproach will gladly bear. But we understand that to the world, the cross is offensive because it comes back to that straight gate and that narrow way. You're saying everybody's got to go through that cross? You got it right. So I heard a preacher not long ago. He said, somebody told him, said, "I know what, you're one of those narrow-minded Baptists. You think Baptists are the only ones going to heaven." He says, "It's worse than that. I don't think all of them are making it." And it's certainly not your tag that's getting you there. If you count on the name on the outside of this church or anybody in this church, you are putting your faith in the wrong place. You're not going because of a tag, going through a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that foundation to be yours is what you need in order to make it. And that we see that unseen must be in place, but that foundation is not always appealing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, and which is Christ Jesus." I love the verse when it says, "I am come they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." But if we're going to have this abundant life that's shown on the outside, do you know what you have to do on the underneath? You have to have that foundation. And so what I'm challenging each of us to do is, we get ourselves ready. I dressed up today and we get ourselves all fixed up and ready to go out. I'm trying to tell us that we ought to spend some extra time on getting the foundation ready in our lives and make sure that we've spent some time with the Lord. And today I can tell you this, as I mentioned twice already, I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I know that you need your life built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could time out there and you say, "Brother John, I've already saved. I've got my life built on the Lord Jesus Christ," I'm certainly glad. But not only can we do that in our life, but we can do that in our week. We can do that in our life today and tomorrow. And what I mean by that is we get alone with the Lord and we say, "Lord, I am going to put you first in this day. I want to build all of my activities today on you and your principles." Do you know there's some folks in this world, of course, and unfortunately maybe right here amongst us, that your marriage, although it should be built on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are trying to build your marriage out somewhere a little bit further away from the Lord Jesus Christ and build it on unsure foundations. My friend, I'm asking you to get that back in and put it firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells husbands to love your wives as Christ also loved the church. But instead, we're getting some of these relationships where we wander very far away from the sure foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to make sure everything you do is built on that solid foundation. The cross was not pretty, but it's the bedrock of everything that you and I should do as we live our lives. Because that's the foundation. Not only I give you those two things, let me give you this last one. Verse number 24 says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," contrasted with the people in verse number 26, "who doeth them not." Could I not be a stretch here and say that one was living by sight and one was living by faith? And the foundation must be laid by faith is my third point. What's the reason the house fell? Well, it didn't have a foundation. Why didn't the person put it on a foundation? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't planning on living there. Of course, it's just a parable. It's what Jesus told to illustrate the story, or to illustrate the point, rather. Maybe that person wasn't going to live there. Maybe he was going to make a quick sale of it, get it up and sell it to somebody on the way past. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have enough character. He didn't want to put that extra work in there. I'm not sure why it was, but he didn't put the foundation under it. And my friend, I'm afraid we all know people who are building their lives, like a lot of them that we pass at different universities, where they're building their lives on things that are not solid. In 2008, a tornado came through Atlanta and blew glass out of buildings. And one report said the Oakland Cemetery, which was miles away, had some of the parts of those buildings, some glass from there that had blown over that far, but no structural damage to those buildings because they had that solid foundation. You understand, as I mentioned to begin with, everybody's going to have storms. The winds are going to blow across everybody's life, yours and mine included. The only difference will be, is my life or your life, is it and is your life built on the solid foundation? Nobody builds a house, rather, during a rainstorm. I was talking to one of our neighbors over here who's up here patching the roof or doing something there, and I told him, I said, "Well, you've heard that old joke, haven't you?" He said, "No, what's that?" He says, "There's really no good time to patch a roof." He said, when it's raining, I can't get up there, and when it's not raining, it's not leaking. But you know, storms are going to come to everybody's life. We can't prevent that. The only thing we can do is put our foundation down to that bedrock so that, like you'll do and I do, next time it rains, we'll sit in that house and just say, "Wow, isn't it nice to be here in the dry?" So today, the Bible says there is no foundation other than Christ Jesus. So twofold invitation for each of us. Number one, is your life built on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if it's built on religion. Even good religion, even Christian religion, is your life built on Jesus Christ? Do you have it down deep in your soul that your belief is in Jesus Christ and Him alone? That's the first part. But then secondly, if you are, and the majority of you are saved, you know the Lord is your Savior, are you building your life and your relationships on the Word of God and the principles that are found therein? I'm talking about our marriages. Are we behaving in those marriages building upon the principles of the Word of God? Our relationships that we have with coworkers and students that we get to interact with, am I building those relationships on trust? Am I building those relationships on truth? Am I building those relationships on ethics? Am I building those relationships like I should? Or are those relationships built on something that's not sturdy? My dad always told us, said, "Son, boys, you ought to always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember who you're talking to." And you know that sometimes when we tell different stories to different people, what we're doing is we're building a relationship with somebody on something that's not solid. And so first is this, do you know your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ? And secondly, are we planning, and if we are planning, let's commit to execute this week, that we would build our relationships, our communion that we have with different people, our fellowship, all of that, that we would build it upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles found in His Word. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If you are building your life on anything except the Lord Jesus Christ, then my friend, you are described in the latter of that parable when it says, as the floods came and the winds blew and they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You understand there's many, many wealthy people right now that they are building their empire. But when the truth comes and smashes that down, then they'll be left with nothing. And there are other people who may not be blessed as much as they are financially, but they're building their lives on truth and righteousness, Jesus Christ, ethics. And when the rains come, their house will stand. I want us to be Christians who build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. Where is your relationship with Him? And if you're saved, how is your life? Are you building your life on that solid rock? Would you bow your heads together with me as we just contemplate a little bit? Because I'm wanting everybody to make a decision this morning. As you sit there in your seat, the ladies will come and they'll play here in just a moment. But as you sit there in your seat, I'd like to encourage everybody to make a decision for the Lord this morning. Number one, if you're not sure that you're saved, in just a moment, I want you to step out or step out now. I don't mind. I want you to come to Jesus Christ. We'd like to take a Bible and show you how you could know Him as your Savior. But then if you're saved this morning, I'd like for you to make a decision right there where you sit. Lord, I want to build my life. I want to build my activities. I want to build my relationships. I want to build everything I've got on the truth of your word and the principles found therein. I'm talking about my marriage. I'm talking about the relationship with my children. I'm talking about my coworkers. I'm talking about my fellow students. I'm talking about all of my relationships that I have. I want to build my business. I want to build everything. I want to build my finances. I want to build everything on the principles of the word of God. You say, Pastor, I don't even know all of them. I'm not so worried about that right now. Let's just get it down that you want to follow and build the Lord, build it on the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust it right there where you sit. As the ladies begin to play, right there where you sit, that you'd make that commitment to the Lord. Lord, maybe I've done this 100 times, but I want to do it afresh and anew this morning. I want to live my life on the principles of the Word of God. A simple message, I understand, but a needed message. We need to build our lives on the bedrock of the principles of God's Word. And then as you're here, if you're not sure that you're saved, the first one I told you, but we'll end on it, and you need to be saved, I challenge you to step out and come. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. We've got one coming to prepare to be baptized. Looking forward to that. But maybe you need help in your spiritual walk. Maybe you need to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need is, I invite you to come. As they play through just a little bit, Brother Daniel's down here, and I'm going to go prepare for baptism. If you need to slip out, I understand. If you want to see someone follow Christ in believer's baptism, I'm so excited for this family. We invite you to stay.
Decision in life than to build our life on the Word of God and the things that He's taught us. And they won't always make sense. People around you won't always get it. But if you make that choice, you'll be more than glad that you did. What a joy it's been to be here this morning. As Pastor said, he's getting ready for baptism. You can be seated, and if you need to slip out, we totally understand. There's stuff going on, but we'll be done here around the normal time that we are. But Pastor's getting ready for baptism, and want to remind you, if you want to sign up for Feast of Nations, things that's out there, ladies, the ladies' retreat's coming up soon, so don't forget about that later on this week. But we're going to turn to song number, let's see, I put it on here somewhere, but I can't find it. So Trust and Obey. They'll put it up there on the screen, and but we are, we'll sing this song. We'll sing a couple verses while Pastor gets ready. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, let's trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what glory He sheds on our way. What we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust Him
Excited. Chase is coming out in just a moment, but before we do that, most of you have met Johnny Modestian. We're so thankful that God brought him this direction and studied over at Milligan, and we're grateful for him. He's been involved in a lot of different areas, but he went and got married, which was the second most important decision of his life, right, Johnny? And Katie's a wonderful blessing. Amy and I had the privilege of doing premarital counseling before they got married. She was over, out in California, but she also is going to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, has come this morning. So we would need a motion to accept her into membership. All right, Brother Josh Smith makes that motion. We'd need a second. Brother Jordan Smith. Well, the Wild Drivers from the UT game, they came through for us. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Amen. God bless you. Well, this is Chase. Chase is a great blessing. And we came up and looked at the baptistry the other day, and he's trusted Christ as Savior and wants to follow Him in believer's baptism. And it's a wonderful thing. For those of you who haven't got to meet James and Mary, his mom and dad, and his sister's over here as well, they're a wonderful family. We're thankful that God has brought them to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But it's great to see young people that not only trust Christ as Savior, but then want to follow Him in baptism. So, Chase, in obedience to the command of Jesus, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And Chase would also like to join the church with his parents, and we're thankful for that, so we would need a motion to do that as well. Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. Brother Shannon Barker seconds it. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Amen. Motion carries. What a joy to be in church. Thank you so much for being here to be a part of all of it. If you are a guest with us this morning, please take that Connect card to the guest services back there. They've got a gift for you just for being our guest. We want to thank you for that. And then I hope that you'll fellowship with some folks. We'll ask the Grangers to slip on back to their table if you didn't care. And I'd like for you to get by and meet this wonderful couple and get a prayer card so we can be lifting them up into the Lord and the great ministry that they're going to have. I'm excited about what God's going to do. So thank you so much. Anything else we need for them? Daniel. All right, let's all stand together, and Brother Daniel wants you to lead us in that last, whatever the last one is, just lead us in a going home song. We'll be dismissed.
All right, trust and obey that last verse, then in fellowship sweet.